This is the Pew Talk America Radio Network.
Nope. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, hour three is upon us. It's our C block. It's the show. It's on a Tuesday night. We come to you every week from Studio C in the heart of Central Phoenix right here in Arizona, USA. Lady,
for now.
Sitting around,
for now.
For now.
Sitting around the table, of course, is our normal cast of the show. It's Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, Al Perkins, and me. I'm Clayton McKee. We just spent some time going over some headlines. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to do our two things segment with Kat Carlson, but we're going to actually go over our local ballot for just to figure out some things.
40 things.
Later on, we've got a segment called Thoughtful Vulgarity, where I'm going to pose a question and relay a little issue that happened over this past week to all of you, and we're going to react and talk about that. However, coming up at the beginning of the C block, it's always our friend and yours, ladies and gentlemen, entertainment with Al Perkins.
Well, I feel like people are very interested in what Billy Ray Cyrus is doing.
Who is it?
Tell ya.
I like it.
It's on my top five things that I Google every day.
Yeah.
Wow.
As well it should be.
Yeah.
But now we gotta figure out how.
I'm waiting, Al.
I know. Well, this one didn't come with the little thing that
pushy,
I just
pushy.
Hit.
Well, he said Billy Ray Cyrus.
Billy Ray Cyrus, so I will Google right now.
Should we sing a song, just in case?
Oh, God.
No, please, please, please don't.
Would you like me to try and remember the dance?
It'll get stuck in our head like that ship going down last week, the Edmonds. What was it called?
Buick LeSabre,
yeah,
I thought it was.
Right.
Okay, with an eagle feather tucked in his guitar, Billy Ray Cyrus jumps into North Dakota voting advocacy.
Oh.
Depending on which generation they hail from, Americans either know Billy Ray Cyrus as a country singer best known for his one song, Achy Breaky Heart, or the father of uber-successful 25-year-old pop star Miley Cyrus. But these days, Cyrus says he is using his fame to call attention to something beyond the music industry. He focused on the plight of Native Americans in North Dakota, who are disproportionately affected by a voter ID law that tribal members say is an attempt to suppress their right to vote.
Mm-hmm.
In an interview with ABC News, Cyrus said he has seen stories about the issue in the news and could not believe what he was hearing, saying that his jaw literally dropped from when he found out voters might be at risk.
Maddow covered this two times.
Yeah, I don't know that Okay, and we talked about it last week, too.
Yep.
That's why I was wondering why it wasn't making the news. But I don't know that I'd ever had a jaw-dropping moment, but I sat there, and after it was over, my jaw was still hanging open.
It was astounding.
Yeah,
it
and really I was going, how can this be? How can this be? It was just obviously that they had never had a street address, and so now you're saying you've got to have a street address, and it's got to be on your card, or you don't get to go and vote. And you're talking about people who, in large part, have already had just about everything taken away.
Uh-huh.
So he has tweeted, let's fix this, North Dakota Secretary of State Al Yeager, and Real Donald Trump, and at FLOTUS. So I think he's a fan of the Donald. How can I help you help Native Americans retain the right to vote in this upcoming election? Earlier this month, the Supreme Court declined to overturn a lower court ruling allowing North Dakota to proceed with strict voter ID law, requiring voters to show an ID with a residential street address. That law could prevent thousands of Native Americans in the state who use post office box addresses rather than residential addresses from voting, and tribal members have criticized the state for implementing the law. Bill Lefthand, a member of the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, who has lived on the reservation in North Dakota for most of his life, reflected on the Supreme Court decision outside of a tribal council meeting in the days after the court's ruling. Why are they restricting us to vote is unconstitutional because we have a right to vote despite where we live. We're all human, and we all have the right in these offices, so we need to vote the right people to... vote the right people in. It was a terrible quoting of him. So just the fact that this is catching on with someone who thinks... where is his quote about that? There's got to be something. You know, the president, he's the king of fixing things. He says he can fix anything. Well, he can fix this.
Oh, but he
doesn't want to
fix this.
This will be an easy one. Cyrus, who is still unsure whether he'll go to North Dakota yet to help raise awareness, says he's willing to do whatever he can. But the fact that if he's a Trump supporter and is like, okay, this is clearly undemocratic, and you say you can fix everything, start with something so clearly unjust.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you're really the champion of the people, here's an issue that is taking away Indigenous people's right to vote. based on what we did by putting them on this land. You know,
but
what
if
I mean?
He's really paying attention, he should realize that the orange dumpster fire doesn't fucking
right.
care.
Right, but again, this could be what turns him or turns the opens the
I would
light.
Like, right, I would like to see that, but I don't think it will. But what I would
but
be hopeful for
just the wording of that makes it sound like he has believed Trump up to now, and like this right. is the litmus test.
Well, what I would be optimistic for is because of who he is, and I will assume you're correct. He follows the Trump, and all of those other people who are yeah. There's a lot. I don't know that there's a lot of country music fans that are on the blue side. I just figured that that's kind of how that rolls. He's been on the red side, I'm assuming, for a long time.
Yeah.
Maybe he will actually, using his voice, might be able to wake up some people that are like, oh, wait a minute, that's wrong.
Right.
Not the dumpster fire, mm-hmm. but all the other people right. who are like, wait a minute, this is not right. I mean, it's not as good as like but, Dolly Parton standing up and saying something, but it's something.
Yeah, but hopefully anytime you finally realize like, oh, this is fucked up.
This is fucked up.
Yeah, that's... Please don't play that song.
You brought it up.
I'm Come like, on. Spent 25 years trying to forget that song ever existed.
Well, now,
existed.
We're all getting, the chorus is coming. I think it's going to be, oh my God, Harry, oh please.
Oh my.
I do not condone this.
This makes me want to grab my
phone. I know, right?
It makes me want to grab 1991.
By the throat.
And ask him, what the fuck were you thinking?
That's Miley Cyrus's dad, if you don't realize that, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Son Gable.
Yeah. He had a worse song than she did.
but less of a career.
So we'll start with a movie review. First Man, finally got around to seeing it.
Okay.
Oh, sounds good.
Terrific.
Really?
Terrific movie.
Ryan Reynolds is Neil Armstrong, right?
Ryan Reynolds stars Neil Armstrong. Damien Chazelle, I think it's Chazelle that did La La Land and Whiplash, is your director. Filmed with IMAX cameras. Damien finally has an okay budget and really good. It's in the Apollo 13 category of look at the big brain on Brad. You know what I mean? Like, it's very, to me, it's very inspiring to see a story about people striving that far, like,
right,
like just the hope of people using their brain towards a common theme. And yes, they bring up the issues of the 60s of like people are starving. Why are we spending these billions on going to the moon? But there's things you have to strive for. Like we have to dream bigger. And I think, you know, when the flat earthers and the people that believe dinosaurs are, you know, the Flintstones was a documentary. When they're running the government, we're not going to any, you know what I mean? We're not going to any other planets the way we're going. Like, there's mm-hmm. there's no advance in technology coming, you know what I mean? Except for to get, like, unskilled laborers to work more hours. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we're not dreaming in that way anymore. It's been 49 years. It's been, like, 49 and a quarter years, and are we going somewhere else? Like, what's the next plan? What do we do with all this information and, like, the fact that we don't have to send up such a huge thing. We can fit all that computer onto a chip now, you know?
Right.
They can go up with a laptop. They don't need the whole thing to be a brain. It's just
I love it when you hear the stories with regards to how all of that got launched and how everything happened. And it's less technology and less computer power than is in that phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I think is fascinating when you realize they did it all with, like, you know, they basically MacGyvered it. They had a paperclip and a rubber band and three guys blowing into a wind chime, and all of a sudden, boom, we got a rocket.
Yeah,
it's just astounding.
And like the one thing that they go over that I had never seen before was like whoever was the person that came up with the idea of like not land the whole thing on the moon, just have the ship break into like, okay, once we're at this point, you get rid of the rocket booster. You don't need that anymore. Send off that dead weight. Now you need a part that's just going to orbit the moon, and we're just going to send down an even smaller thing, leave that part on the moon, and just bring an even smaller part to dock. Like that little... Mm-hmm. And it really is like... Okay, that really was like 18... Probably like 1,000 people. You know what I mean? Like the amount of brain power to think of like... Okay, with the same ship that leaves the Earth can't hit the moon. Like, mm-hmm. when do you start, like, jettison this weight here, jettison that weight here? Just the whole thought of, like, going beyond the atmosphere.
Do they tell that story? Do they go through the story of how they got from...
No, but they just mention it, that someone made the idea easier. You know, somebody had the simple solution of, well, the whole thing doesn't land. You know, you use the gravity of the moon for one thing. Like, you know, you can turn off power here and let the gravity of the moon swing you around and back to the Earth. Like, there's just so much incredible use of, like, our brains and technology and just wanting something bigger that's just, it's just lost.
Is there any reference to the ladies in,
Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures. Is there any reference to that?
No. And again, they do a nice job, or he does a nice job, Damien, whatever his name is, does a nice job of showing, like, the mundane lives that they still have to live. Like, even though you're going to be the first man on the moon, like, you still have to explain to your kids, Dad's leaving for a while and he may not come home. Like, you know, the wife is, like, pregnant again with somebody who's going, being, like, you know, an asshole pilot doing crazy shit. She's going to have kids to raise. Like, what's your plan? Like, so there's that, like, that down-to-earth of, like, it's still just normal life down here for us. Like, these guys down here that are never going to make it to the moon that are just math and science and, like, systems operations and, you know, all those people, they're never going to the moon. They're just part of, like, the greater goal. I don't know. To me, it's very inspiring about striving for something just a little bit bigger that I think is, that, you know, 49 and a half years later, we still haven't done anything else. So that was,
and we're relying on the Russians now to get up there,
right? And we were in a race with them. A little competition was good, maybe not at the right cost. Then on the Netflix, oh my goodness, The Haunting of Hill House. Mama likes her horror, and boy has Netflix delivered.
Well,
taking the Shirley Jackson novel, she also wrote The Lottery. So you probably read The Lottery in high school. It was pretty much standard. Standard reading. It's one of those books in high school that you're it's forced on you. But she also wrote The Haunting of Hill House, which has a lot to do with, like, what haunts you. Like, not just ghosts or demons, but what from your past comes back and just keeps playing and haunting you.
Yeah.
So they're taken somewhere that they think is scary, they think is haunted, as kind of an experiment. That's the premise of the book. And these people go to, like, test out whether the place is haunted. And they bring in their own demons and expectations and things like that. So this is a very unusual twist where it makes it a family that bought the house to do a, to flip it in like the mid-80s. They moved in briefly. They moved out at the end of the summer after a night that everyone has different ideas of what happened. And so each episode takes... So they've changed... how you get to the house, and they made it a family, and there now there's not three people there, now there's five kids and the parents and a wonderful little backstory. But the first five episodes are each child's version. What's that movie? Rosh Hashanah. The Japanese movie where, like, you see the story told from every angle.
Oh, okay. Yay.
And they did it in Courage Under Fire. That everybody does their version of that movie. Courage Under Fire is the American one. But this one tells you the story told through all five children's eyes, which makes it very, very different, because you see what they experience as a child and how it's affected them in their grown-up lives. Like, what have they done to themselves? What's haunting them in their grown-up lives from this experience they had that summer? And, like, what did they see? What didn't they see? Like, what's just a ghost story? Like, who? Like, how many times do your children have to see you? They say they see something before you're like, okay, stop with the imaginary friend thing. Your kid is going through something.
Right.
Let's take a minute and find out what's wrong with your kid. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this imaginary friend thing has gone super far. But there's like three or four just outright scream moments. Like, not a, it's like, like, I mean, it was like for real screaming.
We apologize to everyone.
And my neighbors were scared.
And my neighbors. I am not even kidding. Last, whatever that was, Wednesday or Thursday, that it was raining, I had all the windows open because it was so nice outside. And I let out a scream that scared the shit out of me, because I was like, did that noise actually come out of me? And I just went slowly and closed the windows and doors. So when the cops showed up, like, it sounded like I was murdered. But it's terrific. It ends with the same kind of emotional ending versus horror movie ending as the book. Like, they do go back there. And I read a feminist piece on it, and as to whether or not it was an act of misogyny that they took Shirley Jackson's book and made such a big change from the big line, that the big ending line of the book in this movie. Like, they quote it, but they misquote it. They change the meaning.
Okay.
Which they had spent the whole thing kind of changing the meaning of, like, the idea of their book, but how they ended it was different than hers.
Right.
There was a different ending, so they did have a different meaning. They did go somewhere else. And I'm like, and books get altered all the time. I mean, characters get written out, people get composited. Like, I don't think anybody's books are safe, male or female, from a screenwriter doing, and how, you know, you're...
Which is why it's always a screenplay adapted.
An adaptation. Like, yeah, it's a different medium and a different way to look at it. And when they said the line, because I had read the book after I read, I liked The Lottery so much. I had read this book, and, like, the lady that used to cut my hair, the original movie from the 60s was her favorite horror movie.
Okay.
So when videos first came out, I would hunt for that, because we would talk about scary movies, and she would say, like, this movie from my childhood scared the shit out of me. And so when it came out on video, I went looking for it, but before, you know, you could find it on video, I read the book, because that was way easier than finding a video of a 1963 movie.
You'll forgive my reaction, but when you reference something to back the woman who cut your hair, I'm like, well, how far back are we going?
Oh, well, a long time. But I'm using words like videos were rare. Yeah. Go with contextual clues. The other thing that's back, and it really good, season two, is Ozark. Like, it's so dark and it's so bleak. And I don't mean the story, I mean the setting. Chosen, like, Missouri in the, like, grayest months possible. And I can't remember last season if it took place in summer and this is just, like, the natural progression, or, like,
I don't remember
has
if I
it
watched
always
it last
been
year,
like
or last season.
Last late oh you'd remember it's fucked up
yeah I
That's
don't think I did
a fucked up TV show real about it's kind of like Breaking Bad in the Ozarks, where, like, this simple family, but just everybody has got their hand out or their hand in.
Okay.
And it really is. It's just good drama. No one's doing what you're expecting. Like, strong female voices. Just really well done from beginning to end. And I just have no idea.
Oh, are you talking about A Star Is Born?
Yeah. Yeah, there's that one lady talking to herself over and over again. But this one, like, what a great role for Laura Linney. And, like, every week she's
like
doing something else, and you're like, God, she's good.
Yeah.
Like, and you're like, I would really want to know this woman, even though she's kind of dirty and is probably going to murder someone super soon.
Good on her.
Yeah.
Laura, like, I've got a van.
Yeah.
I feel like her days of not killing somebody are ending. So I'm completely baffled as to where it's headed. Like, I just can't figure out how all these stories are going to converge and what kind of absolute mayhem will ensue.
Right on.
But really, really well done. And then Halloween is out, which I have not got a chance to see, so I'm going to see it tomorrow. But Beautiful Boy is playing in Scottsdale.
Yeah, that
Timothy is. Chalamet and Steve Carell.
I really
and what
see
looks
that.
Like a terrific movie.
He looks amazing.
Yeah.
And both of them do, actually.
Yeah. I would expect to see both of them at the Oscars, but I think Steve Carell might get in for that Marijuana movie that looks so good about the person with PTSD that does the stories with the dolls to help tell his story.
I'm gonna have to look. I don't think I know.
Yeah,
this.
It's kind of like half
I've
animated.
Seen too many
movies
this
yeah,
year.
It's, right. It's kind of half animated, half live action, and it's the art. It's a true story of this man's art and how he. Uses the art to convey his PTSD and what he can't remember from the event that happened in his life. And just looks really interesting.
Apparently my mom loves the Ozarks. She's watched watching it. I didn't.
Wow.
She might mean the real Ozarks.
Well, no, because we're from there.
Yeah.
I get that. But I don't remember if, I don't recall her saying anything about the show, but there it is.
Maybe she has things that you don't know about.
She does. She's very busy.
Yeah.
She's got lots going on.
You don't know my life.
So Mama Daya's in there that the leaders of the Native Nation have found a way to allow their people to vote.
They have.
I did not.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Clayton's boyfriend covered this a couple of days ago.
Oh, they're working on all kinds of angles.
So the gist of the workaround, because the tribes are sovereign nations, and so they get to decide what they deem as proof of residency.
Right.
So they are going to are going to post tribal members at every polling place, tribal officials, and so any tribal member that comes to vote will be issued a letter from the tribe,
good,
certifying their physical address,
good,
allowing them to vote.
Oh, good.
I love it.
Good. That should not. Yeah. That Absolutely. And that's the kind of thing that we should be going and rioting.
Well, and who, my apologies.
Or should have gone to riot already.
We shouldn't have stopped rioting.
No, ever. Right. Ever.
What, we should have been rioting for 2 years now.
Yeah.
Who's the jackass in Kentucky, Georgia, something
Kemp.
Like this? Who's
it's Georgia. It's Georgia. Brian Kemp.
Okay.
The Secretary of State, possible? Who's running yeah. against Stacey Abrams, but is also the Secretary of State and yeah. is purging right. the roles
right. no.
of
I don't understand
African-American
how...
voters in his state. Because no. who's going to stop him? Because
and no, oddly, I'm his party I'm totally stacked. With you, but this is another point where I go,
and oddly,
what?
It's only happening in the one county. All yeah. the other
isn't
counties,
that weird?
Isn't that crazy?
Come on.
Yeah. Now, what I was mentioning to Al earlier when we started the show before you guys sit down, there is now, and I'm going to assume that Rachel covers it tonight or somewhere, I heard late this afternoon that audio has surfaced of Kemp saying
oh, yeah.
that he expressing his concern that they will figure out how to get around this.
Shut up where they have him saying
right,
that.
Right. He was saying somewhere that...
Damn those Americans. They're going to figure out how to vote no matter how hard we try to fucking stop them.
Damn it. Right. What if that happens?
So oh, my God.
Very awful, curious to awful, hear, awful. See what that is.
Unbelievable.
By the way, I'm off wow. completely off topic, but well, this came out 16 minutes ago. Five of six numbers Breaking were played news. By eight California people. One ticket was sold in San Francisco. But eight people so far have matched five of the six numbers.
So that's all $1 million winners.
California so doesn't need that. More millionaires. Take that away.
But I'm curious to see how those. That all shakes out. But so far, that's what they've got. Or let's say that's what ABC7 out of San Francisco
well, it's
is,
all
is
digital
reporting.
Now, so they know as soon as they draw if they've got a jackpot right. winner or not but, and where it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And they know who sold it because the person who sells the ticket gets a kickback, too. Yeah.
Right. The store gets it, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the plot of In the Heights. 96,000.
Yes. Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, God, I forgot about that. How funny. So Halloween as well. I'm going to go see that tomorrow. I can't wait. It was too nice a day yesterday. I was supposed to go yesterday and just didn't get myself to it. A line that I have been saying for years, I forgot what movie it was from, and it turns out it came from Mel Brooks. So Mel Brooks, when they were remaking The Fly in the 80s,
okay.
somehow was invited to... the screening and was part of like the script doctoring of it, and he said, "Should I be afraid?" And Jeff Goldblum deadpans, "Be afraid,
be very afraid.
And it turns out it was Mel Brooks that told them to fix the line instead of just saying yes it's scary, like gave him that line and like
the so, gravity of it, sure.
Yeah, so I've always liked it, but I never could find out like where did that come from. Like, I always say it, but I'm like, I don't remember what movie I got
honest
that
honest to God would never have put that with The Fly.
Yeah, it's from The Fly. So a TV special celebrating 15 years of the musical Wicked will air October 29th, so you have plenty of time to set your DVRs. Original Wicked stars Idina Menzel and Kristen Chenoweth reunited to host and perform during NBC's A Very Wicked Halloween celebrating 15 years on Broadway. The special event will air October 29th, the eve of the musical Juggernaut's anniversary at 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Performing alongside the pair of Tony's winners will be pop and Broadway alum Ariana Grande, a cappella group Pentatonix, the current Broadway cast of the musical, Adam Lambert, and Ladisi. I don't know what that is.
Well, it's a good thing because, you know, Pentatonix hasn't shit on anything in a while.
So. Yeah, that's time. Right. Yeah. So, A Very Wicked Halloween was taped at the beautiful Marquee Theater in the Marriott Marquee Hotel on 46th Street in Broadway.
The Grand Staircase.
I've seen a lot of shows there. I'm a big fan. It's a beautiful, beautiful venue. The musical featuring a score by Stephen Schwartz and a book by Winnie Holzman opened at the Gershwin Theater in 2003, has played to over 100 cities in 14 countries. Platt, who is Benjamin Platt's father mm-hmm. and who oh. famously lost the Oscar on stage... for La La Land and had to hand it back to someone else. He is a producer of Wicked.
You guys, it's Moonlight.
Yeah. By the way, we lost. I just had to watch it the other day because I like that video.
With what you were saying about Halloween, if I may interject, there was a fun thing being made of Jamie Lee Curtis kind of tooting her own horn.
Mm-hmm.
That she was basking in the glow of Halloween's huge opening weekend. It says you can forgive Jamie Lee Curtis if she takes a small victory lap. As the original Scream Queen, she took on the shape in the original Halloween. In that film, her first, she was paid $8,000 for her role as Laurie Strode.
Mm-hmm.
And the indie film cost roughly $325,000 to make, right?
They made it for pennies.
Pennies, right. So fast forward to the present and the newest incarnation of Halloween pulled in a tidy $77.5 million in its opening. It's the second biggest October opening weekend, just behind Sony's Venom.
Venom from a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
So the record had just been set and they almost beat it.
And she said, not one to toot her own horn, but she decided to brag a little bit on her Twitter. She said, okay, I'm going to boast. I'm going for one boast post. Biggest horror movie opening with female lead. Biggest movie opening with female lead over 55. Second biggest October movie opening ever. Biggest Halloween opening ever. And hashtag women get things done and hashtag Halloween movie. So with the success of Halloween, don't you think Jamie Lee Curtis, David...
Hashtag suck it Bradley Cooper.
Yeah. Right? They deserve to brag a little. They chose to disregard all the previous sequels and make a definitive follow-up 40 years in the making. For those who have seen Halloween, did it measure up to the original? Because you saw it.
Right, and there's I had a long conversation with about this at dinner last night. There's no way, there's nothing to live up to.
Okay.
Like, just for a little bit of film history, because what else are we here for?
Sure.
There's a few movies in the 70s that just changed movies forever.
Forever.
And like, they just tapped into a zeitgeist. Like, you can't explain to someone before Star Wars and after Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
Like, you just can't explain how the world changed and there's never... Like, everything has been chasing Star Wars since that day in 1977. Like,
incidentally, Star Wars only having one woman in it does not justify A Star Is Born.
No.
I'm just going to put that out there.
Well, because it was
I've been fighting on Facebook ever since
lead.
I brought it up.
Wait a minute, didn't we see Luke Skywalker's mom, too, in that movie in the original?
Briefly,
we saw the parents.
Same problem, though.
Yeah,
same problem.
I'm just saying.
I don't think she even talks. Honestly, I don't think she even talks.
Maybe
I think
not.
It's just he just talks to his... Isn't it his aunt and uncle?
Yes.
It's very Wizard of Oz that he lives with his aunt
and uncle.
It's
Uncle Owen and...
Actually, that's almost Superman.
Yeah, right.
Didn't he wear aunt and uncle Superman?
Well, he was an alien from space. They adopted him.
Yeah.
They adopted him. Peter Parker was uncle and aunt, too. And Uncle Ben.
I don't pay attention to any of these super people.
Spider-Man.
Oh, wait. All right,
go ahead.
Yeah. Stuff flies out of his wrist at puberty. Right. That's not
what?
Suspicious.
Yeah.
So, anyways, you have those movies. So, you have Jaws, invented the summer blockbuster. Mm-hmm. There was no such thing until that movie, and you couldn't explain to someone the year before what a summer blockbuster was because it had never happened.
Because it wasn't a thing.
And all of a sudden, there was a tentpole movie to hold the whole summer up and what, like, beach reads.
Sure.
Like, I don't know what the first beach read was, but all of a sudden, after that, you needed the book that everybody's talking about to read lightly on the beach when you didn't have to pay attention to a plot.
Yep.
And Halloween just changed all horror movies forever. I mean, Psycho opened the door and kills the lead in the first 15 minutes and threw the whole audience for a... Like,
is that what happened? I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, but you're like...
Don't ruin it.
Yeah.
No. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. The lady in the shower... doesn't do well. Yeah,
doesn't do well.
Just kidding.
Yeah. If you've ever had a conversation about a shower, it came because of Psycho.
Yeah, right.
But, like, there is nothing to the original. There is nothing to that movie.
A kid escapes from an insane asylum
and walks slowly and kills anybody who doesn't figure out, you know, if you just ran, he doesn't seem to move very quickly.
Hoof it up a little bit there.
And how does this fucker just keep showing up?
Put some pep in your step and you'll live.
Right.
Just a simple head count will tell you, oh, he's not really after the kids. Yeah. He's after me.
That's right.
Kids, you're fine.
Yeah, right.
But there's nothing there. It's 90 minutes, but it set up that blueprint that all horror movies afterwards, Prom Night, Terror Train, Friday the 13th, you know, you have the heroine that you have to pick out which of these three is the one you need to follow. You have some kind of a monster at an hour... The heroine discovers the body
Freddy
count,
Kruger
and then you have the
Jason.
30 minutes of chase.
Of
it doesn't matter how it happens, but right around the hour mark, your hero or heroine figures out that there's a crisis, realizes that someone's out to get them, and you spend 30 minutes and the longest climax.
And all
slash
it takes is...
Dun, 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 right. dun,
I mean, you hear, start hearing the music.
Right, and
like,
you also... Because you screened it for someone, and they said it wasn't scary, and so he wrote that... John Carpenter wrote that score in three days... And it's all improvised.
Okay.
And it was just his fascination with that boom. You know what I mean? The
yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. The you never describe
kind of like
yeah, boom. But it's actually just a synthesizer. Mm-hmm. That's he did it all on a $2 keyboard,
Casio keyboard.
Yeah. Casio keyboard. Yeah.
So if nothing wrong with a Casio.
If you're not familiar, but you'll know, and dun-dun. Like mm-hmm. and it just like it's iconic in a way that like the tubular bells from The Exorcist or the cello sure. from Jaws or in this case that piano mm-hmm. but the minute that synthesizer hits that right. that low note you like we got to go yeah.
there's a problem
somebody just yeah. sat up that yeah. should have been dead or somebody
Molly, you in danger
girl. Yeah you right, in danger right. girl
I had that same issue with Close Encounters
oh yeah. sure yeah that sounds good
okay. yeah.
Sure. And at one point when they hit the low note and all of a sudden all the glass shatters yeah. and all the buildings. Yep.
But what a, that movie's genius in its own right. And watch that. That movie holds up beautifully.
The Mountain of Mashed Potatoes.
Yeah.
But I was excited for Jamie Lee Curtis. I just thought that was so me cool. Me too.
Now, does yeah. it say what she made in this movie?
No.
It didn't funny. Say that. Uh-huh. I left that out.
Like a shit ton.
Oh, IMDb. IMDb will have it.
Yeah. More than 8,000.
Just well, not in, it just wasn't in that particular
right, but what you...
Thing.
Now, here's what we do know about this movie, though, is that my producer that we have talked about ad nauseum on this show, Jason Blum, mm-hmm. from Blumhouse Productions, that makes all these low-budget movies that make a fortune, he took over with maybe Universal or Columbia. I can't remember who the partner is. Mm-hmm. But it's a Blumhouse production. So this movie was made for $10 million. Okay. They are very proud of that budget. So whatever she made, she got promised back end.
Yes.
That's how he gets...
The big stars.
Oh,
yeah. That's how he gets okay. sure. Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga and... Jesus Christ. Ethan Hawke is mm-hmm. in the Insidious movies. Okay. He mm-hmm. gets them by saying, we're going to keep the budget down. We're going to keep this reasonable.
It's going to make some money.
And we're going to get yep. you a profit
and
share.
And then we're going to get right. you a profit share sure. on a movie that's going to make a butt ton of money. And he brought back M. Night. Like, the reason yeah. M. Night came back is because he made The Visit. After all those big budget bombs, mm-hmm. he made The Visit with a fun script and a great ad campaign.
Sure.
Kept it at $5 million, and that movie made a fortune, and all of a sudden, M. Night got a chance to make Split, same company, make it for $6 million, makes a butt ton of money. Now he's got a big budget movie. Now he's got Glass coming out.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You just find this Jason Blum guy who's going to win his Oscar eventually.
Sure.
Because he produced okay. Whiplash.
Mm-hmm.
So I was expecting his name on First Man because I'm like, you know, he's the one that gave Damien, whatever his name is, Chazelle, his first break.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They did an interview with him that I saw and I...
The director?
I'm going to try to look that up. Jason.
Jason Blum?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Blum. I'm not sure how you say his name. But he's one to watch. He's one of those ones now that when his name comes up, I'm like, mm-hmm.
Okay. Look at what I've told these
because
people.
Because he just wants yeah. to make a good, solid movie, and if you want your ego, then you can check it at the door. If the movie doesn't make money, none of us make money. If
right.
the movie makes money, we all
sure.
cash in.
Sure,
that's how it should be.
And it's a winning formula. So there you go. So I'm really curious to see Halloween. I've heard good things, but like I said, you can't compare it to a movie
yeah,
that had nothing.
Because
there
that's
was
what
nothing
I've heard,
to
like,
it.
And what do people think?
You can't mind. Really like look at that movie critically because it's supposed to be Chicago in late October. And their paper leaves that they're throwing down the street. Like, there's leaves on all the trees. It's green. It's southern Pasadena. And they would, like, throw the leaves
That's
on the
true.
Street. And then because they had so little budget, they had to gather up the That's paper funny. Leaves and use them in the next scene. And even though,
what a job.
Really like,
what
at,
a
one,
job.
At one yeah. point, they are driving to the babysitting job. And she tells her, I'll pick you up at 6:30.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 6:30 at night. In
there
Chicago
would
be
dark. Absolutely.
But it's broad daylight. But then they have to explain
right.
why it's dark like a block later. Like between the one house and the house
That's
they babysit,
true.
They stop by the crime
That's
scene.
That's funny. I wouldn't
Where they broke into the hardware yeah. store. And it's
daylight
broad day. Oh, God. It's like
right.
straight
daylight
up noon.
Just then.
Yeah. And then they turn a corner and it's nighttime. And you can tell that they're in the, you can tell that the people are in the back seat.
Sure.
Like,
sure.
you can't see it. And there's one part where PJ Souls is going out of the living room to go upstairs and have sex. And she trips over the camera dolly.
That's funny.
And they left it in because it's dark in the room.
Yeah.
So you just think
she could have stumbled
You don't know what
anything.
She stumbled
right,
out of, but
sure.
everybody
but
that was filming
that
was like,
that's great.
She tripped on equipment.
Right.
We just have the camera here so you can't see the track.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because you have those. And then, but the thing that's genius in that is that opening shot of that movie of Halloween, that's a 4.5 minute tracking shot. No edits.
Okay.
Where you follow his first kill from the opening of the eyes behind the mask to the unmasking with the parents. Mm. Like, that's a 4.5 minute tracking.
Okay.
That probably cost all of the $300,000.
Wow.
Like, the paper leaves and Jamie Lee Curtis were like $8,005.
Sure, sure.
And all of them. Yeah, they said Donald Pleasance, who's a big star, got paid $20,000 for 5 days of work, which not bad, not a bad piece of change.
Sure, sure.
But a lot
sure.
of people turned it down because they were like, no, I make movies. Like, we make money.
Oh,
like,
right.
This sure. isn't network TV.
Right. Bloody freaking dumb.
So that's it for entertainment. But seriously, I know it's horror, but it's so well done. Haunting at Hill House. What a terrific little October mm-hmm. treat. Oh, my okay. God.
Right on.
Well done. And to get back to that emotional ending after all that, like, creepy... No, it was just spine-tingling good.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow. Which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics? Religion? Why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
Good luck. Always a nice way to... Good luck in your little mm-hmm. segment there. Well, I've chosen to take this thoughtful vulgarity only because of in this heated environment where we are all on the Facebooks and the social media, and everybody, like you said, you know, you can discuss a lot of things with people. Some things you can't discuss with people. Some people, and one of the things that hit me today was kind of you can't tell a person that's ignorant. That they're ignorant because they don't get it. Right. Like it's very yeah. difficult to oh, sure. educate somebody who just
doesn't want to be educated.
No matter what the sign says, push the door. They're gonna pull the door.
Oh my god, I mean, hysterical.
Yeah, that's kind of a deal. No.
And more than once is the part that gets me.
Right.
Did it try? Try it again. So,
right.
With everything that's online, I mean, I have certain things that I've done where I've blocked certain posts that I put out there. I think we've all been that way. Maybe some of you aren't. Where I pick and choose maybe my audience a little more. Some things I don't let everybody see, other things I let everybody see. Mm-hmm. Public, private, whatever you want to do. So on Facebook, and I know we've all been down this road, but I just wanted to readdress it now because obviously we are 2 weeks out from a midterm and it's just been crazy the past couple of years. On Facebook, I've been, I forget how long it was, I was friends with a friend of my mother's on Facebook that my mother has known for almost 40 years. Lives in a small town in Arkansas. We know that. They talk on the phone. They have before. There's never, ever been an issue. We do realize she is on the R's side. We get that. Mm-hmm, but again, sure. never, ever has any of that ever been an issue. It's just sure. everybody talks. Again, like your family. We don't talk about that. We don't talk about this. How's the weather? How's this? Right. How's that's about all we talk yeah. about. So I had posted, and again, this person is another one of those people that I have shielded other things from. I have in a group, but there's other things that I just share publicly. So this one is I did a post of a video that we're going to play in a few minutes, a Randy Rainbow video, mm-hmm. which if you don't
we enjoy him.
If you don't know who Randy Rainbow is, please look him up. He's very funny. He's very, very talented and does a lot of great rewriting of songs with certainly a liberal slant, a democratic slant. Anyway, I had shared one of these, and it was one of his latest ones with regards to Melania, where she stated that she was one of the most bullied people in the world.
Right.
Now, this friend, who, again, I was friends on Facebook with because mom, this friend had requested me, my mom is not on Facebook, and it was just a way to kind of, I knew this person. I've known her for years. I know her daughter. Her daughter has been here and has visited my mom here locally because her daughter travels a lot. I posted this video and I was so taken aback with what a comment she put on it. I was just in shock. I was just stunned with it. She knows I'm gay. She's known me for, oh my God, again, it's got to be 20, 30 years almost for me because I've known her since I was a little kid. So anyway, here's the post. I post the link to the Randy Rainbow video, and then I get this notification. I blanked out her name, her last name.
Wow.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
That's the post that I get.
Wow.
Now, you could take it as there's just no punctuation in it, and she's referring to Randy. Whatever. But regardless.
Doesn't matter who she's talking
regardless,
about.
That is just not appropriate at all, any way, shape, or form.
I don't care who you are.
So
yeah.
The second that I saw this,
oh my God.
I screenshot it, and then I blocked her instantly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, absolutely not. This is not okay in any shape, way, or form.
Right, right.
So today, so that my mom wouldn't be blindsided by this, I called mom today, and I said, by the way, here's what we're going to talk about later tonight. Yeah. And I sent her the screenshot so she would know what I was talking about. And I'm like, I had to block. I can't, there's no way I could deal with that. I was just astounded.
No.
And one of the things that I referenced was, I could use that word.
Right.
Just like black people, I don't like the word.
I'm starting to be less and less on board with that now.
No, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I get that too. But if that word's going to be used,
mm-hmm.
white people have no reason, there's absolutely no reason to use that word.
Mm-hmm.
The N-word.
Right.
Just like other people don't have reason to use that. And she knows me.
Yeah.
That's the that was the real kicker to me.
Yeah.
It was just not right, not cool.
That's searing. Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway,
the
question that I was going to pose is within the past couple of years or even recently. Pardon me. Has there been any fallout aside from a general comment that they don't agree with your opinion is one thing. That's fine.
Right.
I see those all the time. Buddy Early posts a lot of stuff. His brother Alan Early.
Mm-hmm.
And we all post different things. And I don't have any problem with somebody, that's not how I think, or I don't agree with that, or whatever.
Yeah.
Fine. That's perfectly fine. But has anybody else that you know of or you personally experience anything like that where you're just like, holy shit, and you just, we're done? Anybody want to start?
I last year with the Harvey Weinstein.
Mm-hmm.
Weinstein.
Mm-hmm. Thing. A friend of mine back from Niagara Falls made what I think he thought was a joke about rape victims.
Mm.
And it was one of those things, and it came in a meme form, and he posted it on my page. And like people
directly to you?
Yeah, people were like commenting around it, and I just couldn't stop looking at that meme. And it was one of those things where I was at my computer, so the things were happening live and arguments were happening in real time, and I just had to keep saying, like, however you're backpedaling now as like a husband and a father and a human being, like that just can't be forgiven,
right?
Like, actually, like, outright accusing victims of rape and assault of being the predator in the situation, I was like,
wow.
We're done. And he reached out to me this summer when I was home, and I deleted it off my page because I didn't want anybody to go to my page and see
right,
that there
right,
and think
right.
that I found it funny. So I deleted it, but I screenshotted it, and I just opened it up to be like, was it a sensitive day? You know what I mean? Did he just catch me at the wrong time of day? And
sure.
I read it again, and I started to shake,
mm-hmm.
and I was like,
oh my gosh,
nope,
right?
Yeah,
nope,
yeah.
I was so glad. I had him on block because I didn't really feel like reading all of his, like,
sure.
everybody's to blame but white people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, black people kill each other and, like, all this, like, ugh. But that one, I was really, like, taken aback that as, like, just a human being sharing the planet with everything else, that you would lump a group of assault victims together and assign them, like, bad guy status.
Right.
And I was like, you're just a shitty human, like, and I actually, at the end of the thread, I'm like, you're not a Christian, like, in no way, because he always hides behind that, like,
right, that bullshit.
Christian American flag thing. I'm like, you might be American, but the Christian thing, you lost with this meme. And I just told him, I'm like, someday I might be able to, like, think of your name and not associate it with that, because we were texting back and forth, and I'm like, I really don't want to hear from you. Like,
no.
I like your wife. I'd be as friendly as I can. If I saw you in public, it would be hello, goodbye, please, and thank you. I would never bring this up again. But since you're contacting me personally, you are just always that guy that thinks that rape victims are somehow
asking
the
for
villains.
It.
They're the villains in any story. And there's a someone that just recently has started working, not with me, but, you know, like, two steps away, two, you know, a couple degrees of separation. And somebody found him attractive, so we did a little bit of stalking, and to find that same theme of, like, women are the predators. Like, men should be afraid of women because the women are just out to get you. Like, that's his take on sexual assault.
Oh.
Is that women are the predators. Wow. And so the girl that was, like, kind of Facebook stalking him to, like, see if she wanted to ask him on a date, I just passed her that. I'm like, do not go out with someone who has this frame of mind because he doesn't like women.
Yeah.
He might want to fuck you, but he doesn't like you.
Right.
He doesn't like women.
And will not value any of your opinions.
Yeah.
And you're never
and it was one of those things where I thought he was cute till I read that post, and his, like, he wasn't copying a meme, he was writing that himself, and I was like, nope.
Yeah.
You don't like women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marn or Kat?
First of all, just a U.S. District 9, and I am District 24 for the Senate.
Ah.
So. That I had to find that. It was making me insane that I didn't know.
Oh,
that.
And a little bit of research for Maricopa County Community College District 3. It is definitely Marie Sullivan.
Okay.
That one is a... I just read about all three while you were all talking. And
very good.
I don't have that.
Choice number... it's District 3, whatever that is. Choice number 2, Debbie Vandenboom is an anti-abortion.
Ah.
And Sherman Elliott is a Christian educator.
Ah.
All very fine and good, but
sure. Not for me to vote.
Not with how good her resume looks.
Right.
Given the choice, we're going for the woman with the stand-up record. Mm-hmm. Marina?
I voted for 15 women. 16,
I have to,
17. 17 women. Wow.
I have to say that I am very, very lucky that I have not had that response personally.
Right, yeah.
At least not on Facebook.
But not as aggressive as that.
Oh, God,
that's just
nothing like
ugly.
That.
That's just ugly.
Awful.
Yeah.
That's just awful.
That's a whole new level of ugly.
Yeah, like that was like a punch in the stomach to me. I can't even fathom what it was for you when you saw that. That's ridiculous.
I don't have any vested interest in her.
No.
It was so.
No, but you know her. Like,
no, right.
This is someone
but,
you know.
But it's not like it wasn't. It didn't cut like a close family member or somebody like it was. I'm friends with you because you're friends with my mother from years ago, and I'm like, okay, I'll pass along something funny you post or a picture or your picture of you and your daughter. Like that was about all that was.
Yeah.
So to get that, I was in shock that it happened. And when I talked to my mom today, she was in shock.
Yeah,
she was like,
oh, sorry, because she's not on Facebook.
No. But I sent her the screenshot, and she was like, in all the years, I've never heard her talk like that. I've never heard her be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I even questioned, like, well, has she just lost her mind? Like she's young, a few years younger than my mom. But still, like,
your mom, I'd be like texting, like, so I heard you called my son a faggot. What year is this?
Yeah, well, no, she said
I'd be like taking off my earrings. I'd be like, oh,
right.
Well, I have absolutely no desire to engage with her again. I don't care if there's an apology coming or not. I don't care. I'm just like, yeah, I'm done with this.
Yeah, and you know, there isn't
an apology for that. I don't think.
And there's this fairy tale because of reality TV that like. You get to do whatever shitty thing you want as long as you say I'm sorry, and we're all supposed to magically that one.
No.
We're just we've seen inside your soul.
Right,
we're done.
Right. I don't like I said.
If that
I've,
was your
I've
go-to,
been, right?
And sometimes it's a joke that just gets. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's context, and you know if someone deletes you because you're like, that's when you like maybe send a message. It was like, oh my god, meant that as like.
Yeah.
Funny right. And
totally
like,
kidding.
Like you go gay boy, like Kate, like completely misread.
I thought it would be okay if I didn't. No.
Right.
But no, that has not happened. There are people that I've just seen, so it's nothing. There are things that I see that I think, yeah, I mean, I don't care if I see anything from you again. Like as far as posting social media stuff.
But nothing is personal.
But nothing has been personal.
Right.
Right.
Thus far, you know, I don't know, but I don't know how I would react because I understand that you have no vested interest necessarily this person.
I still would have come out swinging at a word like that. Yeah, that would.
But it wasn't even worth like I was saying with mom today. I'm not even going to respond to it because
of course.
A lot of maybe not specifically to this person, but a lot of people their goal is to get a rile out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And right. I'm like, nope, we're just, I blocked, we're done, it's over. I'll remember this.
Right.
But I'm not going to reach out and be like, well, or whatever. And I told mom, if she wants to, she can do whatever she wants to. She's the one that's known her forever.
Sure.
But, I mean, we welcomed this person into our home in Joplin, like the house you were in.
Yeah.
Marnie, the house you were in with my cousins.
That's, like, that's one of those. Like,
what?
Right.
That's not. Yeah, that's not a trespass. I'm going to be forgiven anytime soon.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah.
You know, I've kind of, as much as I love the internet, I've kind of soured on actually interacting with people in that format.
Okay. Yeah.
I like the funny things that people do on the internet, and I like trends and memes and whatever. But I'm really super done with any kind of public debate. You know what I mean? Because it all just dissolves into that.
By the third back and forth, I'm always like, just have a good night. You're right. Have a good night. I've learned so much from you. I give them some sarcastic.
Yeah. Ain't nobody got time for this.
Yeah.
Like, because there's
you obviously know far better.
Clearly,
than
your
I.
Jesus is better than my Jesus. So I'm just gonna go home.
Yeah. Your fake sky monster is more important than my fake sky monster.
I really do. I hit them with like just dripping with sarcasm, horrible kindness.
Sure.
Like, that's so insincere.
And very rarely even engage.
We call
anymore.
That passive aggressive in Minnesota. Yeah, it's and I love it.
It's been a long time. Like somebody last week put something out of like why they should vote. Like they're not affected by any elections.
Oh sure.
Like, but I'm like, you just adopted a child. Like, listen, gay boy. Like now that your children's education is at stake, so it's time to up
it's
your game and
vote.
Learn some civic responsibility. Because now you have a child, you don't pass on.
Also, the certain people given enough time and power will revoke your right
ability
to have a child.
Right.
You know, there
like you now have something to be interested in.
Right.
Uh-huh. There was an interesting. Clayton, I know you put it out there, and I don't know if you did as well, Al, but the if you have enough time to stand in line for the lottery ticket, then you have enough
time to
vote.
Stand in line and vote.
Right.
Yeah.
I did both.
And someone responded. I was going through just reading, you know, like how things come up in your feed, and someone commented on a mutual friend of ours and commented that that was just, it's condescending. And I don't know that it would get, and forgive me, because I'm putting a spin on it that maybe I shouldn't be, you know, but it was, you know, I think it's condescending, and I don't know that it would get the message across by putting something out there that's so obviously speaking down to people, et cetera, et cetera. And I'm like,
shut the fuck up.
And forgive me, I don't remember who it was, and quite frankly, it wouldn't matter if it was someone that called me and said, hey, but this is what I meant. Because it was kind of like, first of all, this isn't necessarily even meant to be something funny. It's true.
Yeah, right.
This isn't like a ha-ha, that's right, ha-ha, nudge-nudge. You fucking idiot. If you can stand in line for this lottery ticket, you can go and stand in line to vote. And like you pointed out, 15 minutes?
Yeah.
To do this?
Right. So
time spent on your future and your children's future.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It
absolutely.
Clearly wasn't from my page
no,
that
I
you
don't
saw
think it was.
Because the only one who commented was him who just said again, I'm doing both just to show off.
Right. Yeah.
Otherwise it was shared 4 times from my page and then 16 other people liked or loved it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'm sure there's somebody else who thinks, well, that's condescending. But no,
the way
you're showing,
it's not
illustrating the simplicity of this.
And I will say twice now. And the one time three times. I don't know. The first thing, I don't know what it was that I read, but I read it above a comment, and I didn't notice that in the comments it had changed names, and I thought it was like all the same thread, or the comment went down to the next person's feed. So I thought a childhood friend of mine had put this gay bashing thing on my page, and I was just horrified and offended and sent her a private message, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, no one's after your religion. Why are you coming after me? And, like, why are you all of a sudden so anti-gay and being such a piece of shit? Like, what the fuck was that comment? And she was, like, in her classroom, like, in tears. Like, I don't know what this is not, communication was not with me. And then when I read it, I realized I had just combined two things. So I just assumed she had said all of it. I didn't see where it had changed to a different
other person.
Thread.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I am so sorry. That was not from you. And I was just so hurt because we've known each other since we were 10 years old. Like, what the fuck?
That's like 20 years.
And then another time, I thought it was.
I thought this was who it was. Sorry.
I thought it was I thought it was Don Skull from the chat room.
Oh.
But it turns out I have another friend with a similar name that did this whole, like, anti-abortion diatribe on my page. And I was like, what? And then I, like, had to look and be like, I had to, like, Google it. And I'm like, oh, because, you know, Don has a married name. So I've lost track of everyone's first names, last names.
Mm-hmm.
And I just saw it. And we had been talking so much with Don through the chat room, through there, that I really had to, like, look at that for a long time before I was like...
Did you read that?
Okay, no.
It's the big one in the center of that page that is the... I know that name. Why do I know that name?
Me too. And I'm sure that if I saw it, I would be like, what?
Yeah.
So,
Last time was similar names. Like, let's say, like, and this is like an almost a exact metaphor, but like if you were talking to an Al Perkins and just didn't realize it wasn't Al T. Perkins, and so someone with a similar name to a friend of mine, just missing the middle initial, or with an added middle initial, said something super shitty about women, and I, like, confronted him the next time I saw him in person. I'm like, what is this?
Right.
Like, you don't even go on social media, and this is your entrance? And he's like, look at the picture. That's not me. And I was like, oh, I know someone with the exact same name. They just have a middle initial.
Right.
But now whenever I see that person comment, I'm like, there's a K there. Okay, there's a K. That's not yet.
You know, it's a good thing.
That horrible person is not my friend. He's on someone else's page.
It's a good thing you don't live in North Dakota, because a different initial or hyphen, you would not be able to vote. Oh, no, excuse me. That's Georgia. My bad. Georgia.
Oh, and that's my name. I would, my, and it would not, I would finally have to reconcile every piece of my identification, because the Roman numeral 2 comes and goes all the time.
You know what I mean? Like, you're 27 years old. We have no time to go through all of your identification.
No, but it would definitely come up, because my birth certificate does not match my voter registration, because none of them match my driver's license. The lady that filled out my driver's license paperwork in Arizona did not keep the Roman numeral 2. So I have that hyphen, whatever. I have that problem. Same with Renee. Is he Jaime Renee? Is he James Renee? Does he have a name?
Is Bingo his name?
Right.
Because
his mom kept changing his name. So baptismal records don't match birth certificate records, don't match his school. She kept changing what his first name was going to be.
Oh, wow.
So you chimed in, right? We're good. Yeah. We wrapped up with you because you're not interacting. We got yours. We got yours.
Fuck all the people.
I feel we've wrapped that up. Let's, just because it's more fun and we should end on this, so the Randy Rainbow parody, Just Be Best, that started this entire thing with a derogatory comment from somebody that I did not expect it from.
Yeah.
So we'll be back after this to say goodnight. So enjoy the Randy Rainbow song right here on Q-Talk America.
I'm here in majestic Kenya, famous birthplace of not Barack Obama, with none other than the one and only First Lady of the United States, if you don't count Mike Pence, Melania Trump. Mrs. Trump, we don't often get to hear from you. In a few words, what can you tell us about Melania Trump?
I'm a mother and a first lady.
Great.
I'm not happy in the White House. I don't even live there. I'm miserable in my marriage.
That's enough, sweetie.
I'm out of touch. There are so many things. I don't know where to start.
Well, why don't we start with a topic everyone is wondering about? The jacket. Do I look cute, or is it too tight? Because it's new and you didn't say anything.
Yes, I'm enjoying it.
Okay, good. No, you always have the best taste in fashion, and I mean, you know how cruel people can be on the internet.
That's why my Be Best initiative is focusing on social media and online behavior. I could say I'm the most bullied person on the world.
The most bullied person in the world?
One of them. If you really see what people saying about me.
Well, if I may, Mrs. Trump, allow me to impart some wisdom. A certain stunning Slovenian first lady ripped off Michelle Obama, reworded, slapped on a t-shirt made in China, and tried to pass off as her own.
Just be...
I never...
Shut up. Best, just be best, just be better than the rest. Put your shiny new self-righteous phony slogan to the test. Don't hold back, don't fall short, don't stand up or show support for what's real or fair or true. You really don't care, girl, now do you? Stand your ground, lead with grace, and try not to make that face when they question what you said or how you dressed. Be kind and virtuous, and also tell your husband to be best. Not the best, just be best. You hear that, boys and girls? Don't be crass, don't be cruel, unless on Twitter or in school. Keep your temper and remember our First Lady's golden rule. Contradict, solid proof, be indignant and aloof. Human dignity? Dismiss it. Be despotic, be complicit. Don't unite, just divide. Then ignore the other side when they exercise their privilege to protect. Test. Go on now, be outrageous. Throw small kids in cages, be the best. You look stressed. If I were you, I'd be depressed. Just be best, just be best.
We can and should be best.
Good is not the best, and if you're better, you're still less than being best. So be the best as best you could. Don't be not as good as being better. Better might as well be not so good. Bet I'm not the first to say that better is the worst when better's less not good and worser than not great. So, you know, go on. Don't not be not more better. Lest you should regret it. Best be, fuck it, just forget it. Just be best, just be best. Just forget those you've oppressed. Blame your spurs, use ethnic slurs, then just defer to Kanye West. Disregard, disobey, and if things don't go your way, side with any sex offender if it serves your own agenda. Brush your teeth, wash your clothes, and stick up for all your bros, then go mocking all the ladies they molest. Pretend to give a shit and be a hypocrite, but be the best.
Just be best,
just be Bob,
just be Bob, just be best, just be best, till you're all under arrest. Just defend him till the end while you pretend you're hashtag blessed.
Be a snob, be elite, be a liar and a cheat.
We're enamored of your glamour, so we'll just forgive your grammar and be best. Just be best, let your worst self be expressed. Thumb your nose until your foes have acquiesced.
And don't be nice or lawful, just be best at being awful.
Just be best.
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 Girl.
Hey,
be best.
That's enough, sweetie.
Oh, you've got to enjoy.
I hadn't seen that yet.
Randy Rainbow. You just, well, you have no choice but to love him.
I was not ready for the teapot.
When he shows up in the teapot, it cracked me the hell up.
That really makes it.
Yeah.
Very smart.
He's brilliantly talented. Super.
Brings it home.
Oh. It really does.
Well, thank you all for being here. Be back next Tuesday?
Allegedly.
So. Allegedly. Yes. Election night, we're going to be out here too for that?
Or no? Allegedly.
Yes. Allegedly. All right.
I don't think I'm gone until Thanksgiving.
Let the affiliates down the line know about all this. Well, thanks everybody for being with us in the chat room or beyond. And if you're listening later, thanks for doing that. Oh, heaven's sakes alive. Well, Kat, Barney, Al, we've done it again. Our 302nd show, I think, is what this one is.
I thought you were going to say 300 hours, because my gosh.
It's a lot. It's been a long time. I know. Anyway, it's been great having you all here in my...
Has it been a year already?
Feels like it. Well, as we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday!